There were tall ferns in brass urns around the entrance. A banquet table along one side was laid out with golden plates and jeweled goblets, and exotic, intricate drapes swung slowly in the warm, dry breeze that blew in from the crimson desert outside. Behind Helen was a curtained-off section, with the silk drawn apart, just enough to show them a huge bed with purple sheets and a satin canopy, which rose behind the scarlet-tasseled pillows like a sunrise sculpted from fabric.
"Nice," she said, glancing round.
"It's where Lawrence of Arabia pleasured his harem back in the 18th century. He was some sort of sheikh king who fought the Roman Empire. Absolutely guaranteed, genuine sensorized recording from old Earth. I got it from a starship captain friend of mine who visited the museum."
"Really?"
"Yeah. Old Lawrence had about 150 wives, so they say."
"Wow. And he pleasured all of them himself?"
"Oh, yeah, he had to. There was an army of eunuchs to protect them. No other men could get in."
"Does the magic linger?"
"Wanna find out?"
Ione's mind encompassed the entirety of Helen Vanham's bedroom, the photosensitive cells in the bare polyp walls, floor, and ceiling giving her a complete visualization. It was 1,000 times more detailed than an AV projection. She could move through the bedroom as if she was there, which in a way she was. The bed was simply a plump mattress on the floor. Helen lay across it, with a naked Joshua straddling her. He was slowly and deliberately tearing the body stocking off her.
"Interesting," Ione observed.
"If you say so," Tranquility replied coolly. Helen's long-booted legs kicked the air behind his back. She was giggling and squealing as more and more strips of her stocking were ripped away.
"I don't mean the sex, though judging by the way he's turned on, I'll have to try wearing something like that for him myself one day. I was thinking of the way he latched onto Eric Thakra."
"His alleged psychic ability again?"
"He has had 12 applicants for the post of ship's general systems engineer so far, all of them legitimate. Yet the minute Eric asked for the berth, he was suspicious. Are you going to maintain it was nothing but luck?"
"I acknowledge Joshua's actions do indicate a degree of prescience on his part."
"At last, thank you."
"This means you will be going ahead with the zygote extraction, then?"
"Yes, unless you have an objection."
"I would never object to receiving your child into me, no matter who was the father. It will be our child, too."
"And I'll never know him," she said sadly. "Not really, just for a few years of his childhood, like I saw Daddy. Sometimes I think our way is too harsh."
"I will love him. I will tell him of you when he asks."
"Thank you. I shall have other children, though, and I'll know them."
"With Joshua?"
"Possibly."
"What are you going to do about him and Dr. Mzu?"
Ione sighed in exasperation.
The image of Helen's bedroom rippled away. She glanced round her own study. It was cluttered with dark wooden furniture, centuries old, brought from Kulu by her grandfather. Her whole environment was steeped in history, reminding her who she was, her responsibilities. It was a depressing burden, one which she'd managed to avoid for a long time. But even that would have to end soon.
"I'm not going to say anything to him, not now, anyway. Joshua is the seventh captain Mzu has approached in the last 5 months. She's just testing the water, seeing what sort of reaction she generates."
"She's giving all the intelligence operatives a bad case of the jitters."
"I know, that's partly my fault. They don't know what will happen if she tries to leave. There isn't a Lord of Ruin they can ask. All they have is Daddy's promise."
"And that holds true?"
"Yes, of course it does. She cannot be allowed to leave. The sergeants must be used to restrain her if she ever attempts it, and if she does get into a ship, you're going to have to use the strategic defense weapons."
"Even if that ship is the Lady Macbeth?"
"Joshua wouldn't try to take her out, especially if I asked him not to."
"But if he does?"
Ione's fingers curled about the small silver crucifix around her neck.
"Then you shoot her out of space."
"I'm sorry. I can feel the pain in you."
"It's a gnarly situation. He won't do it. I trust Joshua. Money isn't his prime motivation. He could have told people I exist. That reporter woman, Kelly Tyrrell. She would have paid him a fortune for a scoop like that.